Why are you here this morning? Right? Why did you come? Maybe you don't know your motivation. Maybe you haven't examined your own heart. Maybe you came because your family made you come this morning. Maybe you came out of habit. I go to church on Sundays. That's what I do. Maybe you came this morning because you're looking for something more. Something different. Something that this world does not offer us. Well, today, God's word is going to remind us that there is no better place that we could be than here this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's discover why as we study Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Again, that's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. I'd like to begin just by reading our text this morning. It says this: "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with a great fear. The angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. It will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased.'" This is God's holy and perfect word. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word in our life. And Lord, we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us into your truth. Your Holy Spirit would give us eyes to see your truth, ears to hear your truth, a heart to understand it, to know it, to love it. Lord, would you do a mighty work in our lives this morning as we reflect on the birth of your Son, Jesus? We pray this in his precious name. Amen. A popular game that many of us like to play in this Christmas season, particularly at Christmas parties, is the game called White Elephant. Now, many of you have likely played this game this year or in previous years. If you've never played it, though, the concept of the game is simple enough. It's basically a gift exchange. You bring an inexpensive gift to a party. All the gifts get put in a pile, and then you randomly select a gift. You don't know who it's from. You don't know what's inside. And the thing with White Elephant, though, is typically as you bring a gift, you're bringing junk from your house that you don't want anymore, or you're bringing kind of a funny prank gift. And the goal of the game is to kind of just simply laugh at what people unwrap and what they have to take home with them. So the design of the game is to intentionally give someone a bad gift that they can't get rid of and they have to take home with them. Now, according to legend, this game originated from the King of Siam. And it's said that the King of Siam would give a real living white elephant, hence the name of the game, to someone who greatly displeased him. Now you're thinking, that doesn't seem like a bad gift. That seems like an extravagant gift. I mean, some of you kids in here, you might be thinking, I would take a real living white elephant. But here's the catch. In this culture, white elephants, they were considered sacred animals. So you can't get rid of your white elephant. It's sacred. You can't sell it. It's a sacred animal. You can't even use it for agricultural work because, again, it's a sacred animal. So the only thing you can do with this white elephant is take care of it. And the reason why it's such a bad gift is because the cost to care for a real living white elephant is extravagant. In fact, unless you are very, very rich, it will impoverish you. And that's exactly why, according to legend, the king of Siam would give a gift of a white elephant to an enemy, to someone who displeased him, because he knew that they wouldn't be able to get rid of it, and they would be financially ruined. Now, what does this have to do with us this morning? Well, we have all been given a white elephant that has ruined us. That is the white elephant of sin. Satan intentionally gave this gift to humanity in the Garden of Eden, not to financially ruin us, but to spiritually ruin us. And this white elephant of sin, at first it seems like a good gift. That's why Adam and Eve were deceived. That's why we are frequently deceived by sin in our life. Sin always appears to be a good gift. Something that will satisfy us. Something that is a delight to our eyes. Something that promises us pleasure. And while it may give us temporary pleasure, the end result is always death, destruction, and ruin. And sin, like a white elephant, is something that we cannot get rid of. We're stuck with our sin. We can't wash ourselves clean of our sin. We're enslaved to sin. Scripture tells us it has spiritually ruined us so much so that we are destined for death, judgment, and wrath. And that is precisely why we need Christmas. Because Christmas brings about this glorious gift that rids us of this white elephant of sin. What is this gift? Well, let's turn our attention now to Luke chapter 2 to find out. Let's go ahead and reread verses 8 and 9 of our text. It says this: "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with this great fear." Now, something that Luke wants us to do when we read this story is he wants us to visualize this scene in our minds. Right? What time of day is this? It's night. The shepherds are keeping watch over their flock at night. And then what happens? This angel of the Lord appears, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Meaning in the dead of night, there's this radiant light that is surging through the night sky, that is filling the sky with this heavenly light. But why is the glory of God appearing? When we talk about the glory of God, we often wonder, what does that mean? Right? What is God's glory? Well, that Hebrew word for glory, it literally is translated into the English as heavy or weighty. So when we describe God as most glorious, we are saying that God is the weightiest thing in life. In other words, God is the most important thing, the greatest thing, the thing deserving of our utmost praise, honor, and worship. Therefore, when the glory of God appears in this night sky in the form of this radiant and brilliant light, it is telling us that the greatest thing, the most important thing, the weightiest thing, the most glorious thing is here. Do you want to know what our problem is? Let me illustrate it for you. Earlier this year, there was a fishing tournament in the state of Ohio. And this two-man team won this fishing competition by catching the heaviest walleyes. And they would have been awarded the grand prize of almost $30,000. But when the tournament director examined the winning fish, he noticed that something was off with these fish. These fish were quite small for how much they were weighing. In fact, they were almost impossibly small for how much they were weighing. It would be like putting a tiny toddler on a scale and the scale telling you it's 500 and something pounds, right? You know something is off. So the tournament director, he cut those fish open, and he discovered that these fishermen had stuffed these tiny little walleye full of weights to make these fish heavier, weightier than they actually were, so that they could win. So the fish were confiscated, the men were disqualified. But this morning, we need to see that we are guilty of doing the same thing in life. We regularly try to make lesser things weightier than they actually are. For example, on Christmas Day, it's easy for us to make gifts or food or comfort, relaxation, family or time off the greatest thing, the weightiest thing, the most important thing, the most glorious thing. And we can easily give our hearts over to these things. We can easily add more and more weight to these other things. And we need to be reminded that when we try to make these other things the weightiest thing, the most glorious thing, we are only fooling ourselves. We're hiding weights in a small thing and deceiving ourselves of the truth. The truth that these things are not the weightiest things in life. That these things are not the most glorious thing in life. So what is most glorious? Well, this is why the glory of God appears in the night sky in Luke chapter 2. It's reminding us that the greatest gift, the weightiest gift, the most important gift, the most glorious gift has come. But what is this gift? Let's keep reading our story. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, it says this. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." The most glorious gift that has come to us is a child. But not just any child. A child who is Savior, who is Messiah, who is Lord. He is Savior because this child is the one who rescues us from our sins. This is exactly what Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 tells us. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Right, Jesus is the one who comes into this world to remove the white elephant of sin from our lives. He did this by taking our sins upon his shoulders, by taking the penalty that we deserved upon himself, the wrath and judgment of God, so that we would not have to. But it's so easy for us to take for granted this gift. It's so easy for us, especially if you've been a Christian for a long time, just to become numb to this awesome reality. But I want you to slow down and just take a moment to think about this, that this Christmas, God is giving you the gift of forgiveness of all of your sins in Jesus. All of your sins are washed away, past, present, future. All of your sins are removed from you as far as the east is from the west. You're no longer stuck with this white elephant of sin. You're no longer enslaved to your sin. You're set free. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. Yet at Christmas, we find not only a Savior in Jesus, but also a Messiah. We're told this in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. It says this, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ." That word Christ, it means anointed one. Or in other words, Messiah. But what is the significance of Jesus being Messiah? Let me illustrate it for you. There's a famous hotel in Sweden that is known as the Ice Hotel. And you could probably guess what this hotel is made out of. Entirely out of ice. The external structure is all built with ice blocks. When you go in on the inside, everything is ice. The decor are these beautiful ice sculptures. The furniture you sit in are all made out of ice. Even the bed you sleep on is made out of ice. The average temperature of this hotel stays at 20 degrees. It is so cold that they recommend you only stay there one night. And they actually have a separate hotel, not made of ice, that they recommend you stay the rest of your time there. But what about if this ice hotel was not just something that is unique? What if the whole world was like that? What if every building, every structure, every house, every pew was made of ice? The bed you slept on, the furniture you sit in, the desk you worked on, all made of ice. What about if this whole world was covered in ice? It would be horrible. Yet this is not far from reality. See, our world has been frozen in sin. And everything in this world, all creation is cursed by sin. For this reason, we all live in an ice hotel of sorts. We live in a world covered by the ice of sin. And the consequences of this is that brokenness, pain, tragedy, sickness, suffering, these are all fixtures of the frozen tundra of sin. And for this reason, we long for a day when this world frozen by sin will melt. We long for a day when the harsh realities of a world cursed by sin will thaw out and be done away with. We long for a day when the warmth of spring will usher in new life, and with it, hope. We long for a day when sin will be defeated. When Satan and death will be conquered, when all wrongs will be righted, when our bodies will be made whole again, when all wounds will be healed. And this is the significance of a Messiah being born to us, because it means that that day has come. It means that this world covered by ice, the ice of sin, it is already beginning to thaw and melt. It means that the first signs of spring are here, and that spring will arrive in its fullness at the second coming of Christ. So when we hear that our Messiah is born, what these angels are telling us, that the one who fulfills our greatest longings in life, he has come. The one who is hope incarnate to your life has arrived. The one who is the yes and amen to all the promises of God, he is here. Yet in Jesus, we find one who is not just Savior and Messiah, but also Lord. That's what verse 11 tells us. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, what is that telling us? It's telling us that this Jesus who is born, he is the sovereign God who rules and reigns and is powerful enough to conquer all of our enemies. What this is telling us is that this Jesus, he and he alone has the power to rescue us from our spiritual ruin. For this reason, Jesus is the greatest gift, the weightiest gift, the most important gift, the most glorious gift that we could ever receive. Yet the question is, how should we receive this gift? Let's read the end of our story, verses 13 through 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. Let's not miss the spectacle that that would have been. I mean, put yourself in the shoes of these shepherds. In the dead of night, the glory of God appears. An angel starts speaking to you. And then all of a sudden, there's this army of angels in the night sky who are all singing their hearts out to the Lord. Imagine what it would have been like to hear that mighty chorus of angels. What we need to understand is that that is the only proper response to what had just happened. The glory of God appears. And God pronounces through one of his angels that Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah, our Christ has come to deliver us from our spiritual ruin. Yet I think this is the really sad thing. When we look at our lives as Christians, too often there is silence instead of singing. Too often we're not in worship praising God for this most glorious gift that he has given to us. Too often we just get caught up in our busyness. We get caught up giving weight to these lesser things in life. We get caught up even just being consumed in ourselves. Yet this Christmas we need to be reminded to not be silent, but rather to sing. To praise God and rejoice in knowing that we've received the most glorious gift that we could ever receive. That is why we are here this Christmas morning. That is why there is no better place for you to be. That is why there is nothing better that you could do this very day than join fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and raising our voices to sing of the glory of God. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. For our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord has been born. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you for your greatness, for your glory, for the goodness of the gospel, for the goodness of this Christmas gift of your son, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that as we close out this service this morning, that we would rejoice in singing, that we would rejoice in praising your name, that we would rejoice as your people in worshiping you. Lord, I pray that we would join our voices with those angels in singing glory to God in the highest. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.